Ramsey TV.
It's the battle for the soul of Janet. It's game on. Believe me, it's game on. I'm in the middle of a drama. Spiritual warfare, without a doubt. This is Martin Zender. I'm at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. And this is one thing, talking to you, teaching the Word of God, which I love to do. But now I am in something that is hand-to-hand combat with one individual. What's more important, talking to the body of Christ here on this show or fighting for the soul of one individual? It's all equally important. Of course it is. We know the parable of the lost sheep, that our Lord, as the good shepherd, doesn't rest until all are in the fold. I'm not saying that, of course, I'm going to bring everyone into the fold. I'm just saying that here is a lost sheep. Joanna's friend, Janet. And Joanna, my landlady, is another interesting case. The reason I can talk freely about them is because they don't listen to my show. You know, they're really not that interested in the details of the truth. Janet is, though. Janet is. You see, Joanna, as she knows what's wrong, she was raised Catholic, and she sees through the Catholic nonsense. So she knows it's all BS, but as far as a interest, you know the interest, you have the interest I have in what is true, it's just not there. Because, Martinico, the Bible's so complicated. And I tell her it is, but I also tell her that it's not the truth that's complicated. The truth is actually simple. It's what happens when the truth runs headlong into tradition. Then you have a tangled mess. Then you have boxcars laying on all sides of the tracks with boiling corn syrup sticking everything up, and it's a mess. I tell Juliana, just listen to me. That's all you have to do, and you'll have it. And of course, I listened to Paul, who listened to Christ. So let me bring you up to date. Let me tell you what happened today, and then I'm going to go back to yesterday and tell you about the hotline to Lima, Peru. Oh, yes. Janet said, Martinico, you're telling me there's no such thing as free will? Of course there's free will. It's everywhere in the Bible. This is Joanna's friend, Janet. They've known each other for probably, they're both from Lima, but they didn't meet each other there. They met each other here in the United States. Joanna's been here for 14 years. And this is interesting, of the two, I think Janet has the more driving interest in God, and yet Joanna has more faith. Because Janet has been completely, and I hope she doesn't listen to this particular show, but you know what? No, I'm not afraid of that. That's fine. She can listen. I would tell her this in person. And in fact, I did. Well, maybe not this exactly, but she's been completely screwed up. Mega screwed up by this pastor, Pastor Marie. And I talked to Pastor Marie right here on this kitchen table. We had the cell phone on the table, hotline Peru, Martinico. My pastor will explain to you why human free will is true. Okay, she's welcome to try. So, Joanna was sitting on the couch right over there. And it was game on. That was yesterday. Live from Peru, it is Marie, the pastor, versus the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, Martin Zender. In this corner, weighing in at, yeah, that kind of a thing. It was a real bout. I'm going to go into detail on that. All the issues, the classic issues. Free will, who created evil, who controls the world, what happened at the cross, who's responsible for the world, influence, the whole thing. Words, the meaning of words, the context of words. Yeah, the whole cornucopia of scriptural delights. But today what happened was that after the conflict of yesterday, I thought, well, Janet's really going to be thinking. And so I want to definitely capitalize on that, and I want to bring up some things that her pastor said. And wonderful to say, Janet ended up like not so sure that what her pastor was saying was correct. In other words, Martinico is getting through. And today there were tears because of the route I took in connection with the death of Janet's daughter in a car accident years ago. And obviously she is undergoing great pain. And I did not utilize that. She brought it up. And then I took that and used it to teach the truth of not looking at tombstones, not looking at graves, but through them. And this is the big problem, I'll tell you this first, that Janet has with evil. And today, for the first time, she learned that God does evil and that God is responsible for his universe. She didn't know that before today, and it rocked her back, not in a good way. And I told her, I said, Janet, I know you've been pursuing God for years, but today I am introducing you to the true God. I said, God is calling you behind the curtain to know his most intimate self, to know his most intimate workings. And you are being given a glimpse into the Almighty. At one point, she became so argumentative that I had to shut her down. And I did. I pulled rank on her. Not that I have rank, but let's just say I had had enough of the arguments, the illogical, emotional statements, and I said, that's enough. That's enough. You are not giving God the majesty that he deserves. You think that somehow you're going to be disappointed in what he does in the end. You have expectations of him that you think he's going to disappoint. And the reason is because you have been listening to this woman from Lima, Peru, who I found out yesterday, you listened to it, doesn't have the beginning understanding of the control that God has on the earth. That was today. Back to yesterday. There's the phone. Hello, there she is. The pastor herself, Marie. Maybe Marie will listen to this. Maybe she'll, now that she knows my name, she might, who is this Martin Zender character? She'll type me in. Marie, if you're listening, I'm not a character. I'm a person who believes that God is love and that God is in control of his universe. And that the alternative to God running the universe and the God doing everything, the alternative to that is that Satan does the bad things. And if that's true, and if God is a gentleman, like you told me, and cannot interfere in human activities, then he cannot interfere in demonic activities either. And so this planet is on a crash course, or it's in the midst of a crash course of what? Random chaos. Nothing can have purpose, nothing can have meaning if Satan controls most of the things that happen in this world, because most of the things that happen in this world, it could be argued, are evil. One of the big topics was evil. And I'll get to that, but it started with human free will. And I asked her, I said, yes, your friend Janet and I are having a big discussion here. And Janet says that you told her that humans have a free will. Oh, Janet started it. She said, yes, I'm going to put you on with Martinico, and he says that we don't have a free will. And Janet was probably thinking, huh, or Marie was probably thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. No free will. All right. I said, Marie, how is it? Because Janet tells me you believe that God is in control of the entire world. Yes, I do. God is in control of everything. Marie, please say that again. God is in control of everything, she said. I said, well, now you're on my side, because if God controls everything, then human free will is impossible. Because human free will states that every single person on this planet, which amounts to around 8 billion, has a sovereign sphere of operation that cannot be touched by either God or Satan. And so out of one side of your mouth, you say that God's in control of everything. On the other side of your mouth, you say that you are in sovereign control of your own realm. How can that be? Who gave you the faith to believe? I asked her point blank. Do you know what she said? You know what she said. God did. I said, but wait a minute, Marie, how could he have? How could he have influenced you? And she admitted he influences me. Yes, God did this for me. God did that for you. I said, God did this for you? God did that for you? I thought you were free. I thought you were without influence. Well, Mr. Zender, I have many, many verses showing that free will is true. I said, you have not one verse showing free will is true. Oh, and of course you went to the Garden of Eden. Well, God gave Adam and Eve a choice. He forbade them to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wasn't that a choice? I said, my dear Marie, I will show you thousands, hundreds of thousands of scriptures showing people making choices. The issue with me, the issue you and I are having, is not whether human beings have wills. The issue is that those wills are free. And I defined for her what a free will was. I said a free will is a will without influence. A free will cannot be influenced by God or by Satan. She couldn't say anything to that. I said, a free will must be left alone. And if you're going to make that claim, then you're going to have to say that you are responsible for everything in your life. Everything. Everything that happens to you, whether good or evil. See, they can easily say that the evil that happens to me, I'm responsible for because I made a mistake. But the good that happens to them, they have a much harder time attributing that to themselves, because in their mind, God is the giver of all good. So they will say, God did this good, God did this good. But of course they can't say it consistently, because if they were to try to say it consistently that God influenced, then they'd have to give up human free will. But it's so interesting how free will was assumed. I already knew this, but to see it again was pretty like a wrecking ball to the face, that it's just so totally ingrained and assumed. It was amazing how many times Janet said, but God gave us free will, but God gave us free will. I said, well, no, he didn't give us free will. You're assuming that, and I'm asking for one verse, and you have shown me verses of people making decisions. But every decision is from God. Prove it, Martinico. And this was still on the speakerphone call. I said, Ephesians 1:11. God is operating all things according to the counsel of his own will. There it is. Well, that's just one verse. That's the only verse I need. I only need one verse. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. There can only be room in the universe for one free will, and it is God's. Do you know what the response to that was? Brace yourself. God is a gentleman. God's a gentleman? Show me that verse. There is no verse like that. It did get complicated when I had to explain the difference between what is happening on the stage of life with people making decisions and then showing behind the scenes that God is the one operating behind the scenes. And I brought up Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. I said, I said, Marie, it is God operating in you to will and to work for the sake of his delight. Oh, yes, I know that. So you admit that God is influencing you? Oh, yes. God is doing all these things through me. Then how can you have a free will? Well, because God gave us free wills. It's ingrained in them. And if they're given the choice, if they're shown this double talk, I guarantee you they will lay on the side of free will. That is their core belief, core. And I brought up the topic of self-righteousness. I said that free will, this is the ugliest side of it, the ugliest side of free will is that it makes one righteous in one's own eyes, even though one might not acknowledge it. It stands to reason, but of course, I was the only person talking reason, and that's just a fact. I was the only one being reasonable and logical, because as you know, religion, and especially religious zeal and emotional zeal, cannot be reasonable or logical. It stands to reason that if you're going to insist on free will, even though 5 minutes before you said that God is still influencing you and you're free at the same time, which is absolutely impossible, you have to come to the conclusion that the reason you're saved is because of your choice of God. And this is extremely important to them because of the topic of hell, which is also built in. Hell, in their minds, being eternal torment. That's built in. That's also assumed. Free will is assumed. Hell is assumed. And since it's assumed that many, many people will be going to eternal torment, then in their minds, God would not purposely send anyone into eternal torment. Therefore, the decision of going into eternal torment must be left to the individual. And therefore, the self-righteousness comes in. In other words, I'm going to heaven because I chose Christ. They're going to hell because they didn't choose Christ. Why? Because all of us have free wills. If they could come to talk out of this side of their mouth and stay on that side of their mouth and say that God's influencing everyone, then of course my question would have been, and I didn't get this far, well, why isn't God influencing everybody else? If he's influencing you and you're saved, why isn't he influencing them and they're saved? The result of that question to an honest person would have to be, well, gee, that kind of suggests that God just might save everyone. Yeah, it does suggest that. In fact, that's true. 1 Timothy 4:10 said, God is the Savior of all humanity. See, it's all solved for you. There is no free will. There is no eternal torment. God does give faith to people, and he does love everyone because he's God and he's love. Therefore, he's going to eventually give faith to everyone to believe in him. All problems solved. But how did this happen? Well, Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners, and he succeeded. Simple. I told Juliana this. I said, even though I don't know if she really believes it or not, I said, the truth is simple, Juliana. It's just when it crashes into the falsehood. So the free will is core because it protects their need to have some credit in the game, because that is the only way in their mind that they are going to heaven, and it's the only way they can stand the fact that people are going to hell. I do think they have somewhat of a conscience. I do think they have somewhat of a prick in their mind that some people are going to hell. Ooh, why is that? Because we know that's true. Well, it's because the stupid people didn't believe in Christ. So if they're stupid, maybe they start the whole thing in the hell department. That's obviously true, according to them. So if some people are going there, then boy, they must be stupid. So that makes, I'm going to have to be smart. But they have a problem there when they know that everyone's a sinner, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So I guess God does influence me some, but I have to say free will anyway. I have to ignore that I just said God influenced me, because I have to maintain that free will, because that's the only reason those people are going to hell because they didn't exercise their free will. So it's a core understanding. And it's a core misunderstanding. But I'm telling you, the war is on for Janet's soul. And I got her for two more days. I got her for one more day. One more day. Today was incredible. I'm going to tell you more about that. Tomorrow, I'm going to tell you more about this conversation I had with Marie, because it came down to Isaiah 45:7, God creates evil. It came into the Garden of Eden. You won't believe what she said about the Garden of Eden. Then it came down to the cross of Christ. I got her to admit that Jesus, that God was responsible for putting Christ on the cross. But she wouldn't admit that the cross was evil. That is a fascinating study. I'm going to get into that with you tomorrow. But the battle is on for Janet. As I told you, when I first got interested in God, I don't believe I was saved then. I wasn't saved. Look, Janet's not saved right now. I couldn't tell her that. I wanted to. I told myself during my run this morning, I'm just going to tell Janet that she's not saved. Because she's not, because she believes in free will, which of course is self-righteousness. Janet thinks all kinds of different people are going to hell. Homosexuals are going to hell. People who resist the Holy Spirit are going to hell. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to ask her, do self-righteous people go to hell? Because that's the worst sin there is, self-righteousness. And anyone who believes in free will, obviously, must believe in self-righteousness, because free will is all about free. It's all about me will. It's all about self. The self is left alone. The almighty, untouchable self is left alone to make that God-awful, almighty decision of where you will spend eternity. That's self-righteous. Are those people going to hell? I couldn't bring myself to tell her that she's not now saved. Because that is aeonian life. Of course, she's saved ultimately because of Christ. But in order to come into aeonian life, of course, you know what has to happen. And if God has predetermined it to happen at will, she has to unhand this self-righteousness that I saved myself by believing in Christ. See, she's not trusting in Christ. She's trusting in her trust in Christ. She's not believing in Jesus. She's believing in her own belief, her own faith that was self-generated by some independent well of faith bubbled up from inside like a bubbling crude. But the war's on. Because, you know, when I first started contemplating God, I don't count that as the time when I came into aeonian life. That was when a struggle began between the powers of light and the powers of darkness. And right now, the powers of light, that's me, are pulling on Janet to come this way. And the powers of darkness, that's her pastor in Lima. Hi, Marie, if you're watching, you're pulling on her to take her into tradition. Truth is not in tradition. Janet is going to be told tomorrow by yours truly that unless she repents of this idea of a sovereign realm where she decides whether or not to choose Jesus Christ, unless she repents of that, she will die not believing the gospel, which is what? You all know it. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was entombed, and was resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ did it alone with no assistance from humanity. He doesn't need validated by us. He doesn't need us to agree with it, to effect it. It's true for the entire human race. Adam condemned everybody. Christ saves everybody apart from everybody. That's saving faith. I might have to say that tomorrow. That's a tough truth. We'll see. I'm going to report back to you. I'm going to have to keep backtracking. I'm going to report to you tomorrow about the most recent conversation. Then I'll have to backtrack to the one today, and then I'll have to backtrack to tell you what else happened with a hotline to Lima, Peru.